إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. In our series on Salah and its preparation and so on, I want to remind myself and you about the importance of two things. One is the completeness of movements, and before that is the dress itself. Today seems to be important to mention this, because people come to the masajid, and alhamdulillah, this is the good news, that a lot of young people today are encouraged and they come to the masjid for salah. But the bad news is that they don't seem to see any need to dress differently when they come to the masjid. Frankly, there should not be any need to dress differently, because the dress of the Muslim is the same, wherever he might be. But we have different ideas of what constitutes dress. For some people, dress means something which covers the body. For some people, dress means something which actually exhibits the body. So we have to be clear about what it means. To put it quite plainly, any clothing, and this applies equally to men and women, first of all, let's understand that. Clothing which is permitted in the Sharia must satisfy two things. Firstly, it must cover the body completely, and it should be loose. So it should cover the body in such a way that not only is the body not visible, but also the shape of the body must also not be visible. So many of our young men who go and pump iron in the gym then feel it is incumbent upon them to wear a t-shirt which looks like it has been painted on them. That does not constitute clothing. Let's be very clear about that, right? I am not going to say whether it invalidates your salah or not, but certainly it is not, it is highly inappropriate whether you wear it inside the masjid or outside the masjid. So that's the first thing. The clothing must not reveal the body, the body itself, which means that it should not be transparent. And second one is the shape of the body, saht, that the body should not be visible in terms of its shape, which means that it should not be tight. So the clothing should be loose, and it should be something which is not transparent. So, and this is a rule which applies to men and women equally. There is no difference. Men have not been given the right to exhibit their bodies while the women have to cover them. No, both of them have to do that. So that's very important. Second thing is, in terms of, and this applies to the men, where people wear trousers which seem to be headed southwards all the time. And so, especially when they go into ruku and sujood, the one who is unfortunate enough to be praying beside him or behind him is exposed to views which are better left unmentioned and unseen. And as I say, what is seen cannot be unseen. So, it is, first of all, very bad for the ones who are compelled to see them. And it invalidates the salah of the one who is wearing those clothes. Because if your satar, which for the men is from the navel to the knee, if a certain part of it is exposed, and the ulama have said how much of it, maybe 5% of it, 10% of it, and so forth, and definitely it's not more than 10%, it's closer to 5%. But apart from the percentages, we are not going to be taking a tape measure and working out how many square inches of your skin was visible. The fact is that if your satar becomes visible, then your salah is invalid. You have to repeat your salah after changing those clothes. So don't go into the masajid wearing indecent clothes. These are indecent clothes, simple as that. I already mentioned the issue of the trousers trailing along behind you and coming under your feet and so on and so forth. Please, let us be clear about that. It's an issue of sunnah, it's an issue of tahara. For the women also, it is essential that in salah, and this applies to whether they pray in the masjid or they pray at home in salah, that nothing except their two hands from the wrist downwards and their face, except for this, nothing else should be visible, which means that the feet must also be covered. So either you cover your feet with socks, or you cover your feet with some garment, the lower part of your garment or whatever it is, but the feet must be covered, the feet should not be visible, otherwise it affects the salah. So for the women, that's an additional one, that the feet also should be invisible, and obviously you must wear your hijab and so forth, which alhamdulillah the sisters do, but this issue of feet sometimes is not clear, and people pray without feet covering, the prayer is invalid. So please don't do that as far as the women are concerned. One point of matter also, it is very encouraging that women want to attend lectures and so on and so forth. But as far as salah is concerned, it is preferable for the women to pray in their homes. It is not prohibited for them to come into the masjid, but it is preferable for them to pray in their homes. Now, they might come to the masjid, for example, for Jummah, because they want to listen to the khutbah also, alhamdulillah, most welcome. They might come for Taraweeh, alhamdulillah, most welcome. But ideally speaking, as far as their salah is concerned, the general five salawats, it is preferable for women to pray inside the house, in their homes, because Rasulullah said, do not make the house into a qabristan, do not make the house into a cemetery where no salah is read and no mention of Allah is made. So do not do that. And the women are the ones who must make sure that there is salah in the house. So it's preferable for them to pray at home. Also for the men, the sunnah and the mustahab is to pray the sunnah and the nawafil in the home, not in the masjid. It's not prohibited to pray in the masjid. Of course, most welcome to do that. But it is better, if you are able to do that, is to pray the fard in the masjid and then go home and pray the sunnah salawat. So, two things in that. Firstly, you also should not, if somebody is after praying fard, he goes away, let us not criticize them and say that they don't pray sunnah. Maybe they pray better sunnah than yours, because they are praying the sunnah at home, which is a which is the sunnah of Rasulullah, which is what he used to do. The question of head covering for the men, this is another one of those things which is misunderstood and misused. Please understand that the sunnah of Rasulullah was to pray with his blessed head covered. He prayed with sometimes with a cap, sometimes with a, most of the time with a turban, sometimes with a helmet. There is only one hadith, to my knowledge, Allah alam, where he prayed without a head covering, and they said that droplets of water were falling from his head because maybe he had just had a bath or something. That's the only one. But there are many, many, many hadiths where it is mentioned clearly that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam led the salah and he prayed with the head covered. Today we seem to have a bunch of people who think that it is fard to remove your head covering. I've actually seen somebody walk into a masjid with a cap and then remove it and put it in his pocket and pray without his, I don't know where they get their deen from, Allah knows best. I mean, this is for a man to even walk around without his head covered in our culture is considered to be inappropriate. They say hasiru ras in Arabic, they say that this person has no protection for his head. Yeah. So, to have the head covered is a sign of waqar, it's a sign of the pride, I mean in a good sense, of a person, of a man, that he must have his head covered. I think that some of us at least were old enough to know a time when we did not even go into the presence of our parents with the head uncovered. It was considered to be disrespectful of elders to go in their presence with the head uncovered. But we have destroyed our own culture, so who do we have to blame? So, please understand this. Pray with your head covered. This is the sunnah. This is better for you. I do not say that if you pray sometimes with your head uncovered, that your prayer is invalid. It is not invalid, alhamdulillah. But the key thing to understand as far as salah is concerned, we are not doing the minimum. We are doing the maximum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wear your good clothes when you go into the masajid. Khudu zinatukum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, take your zinat with you when you go into the masajid. So, go into the masjid dressed well, dressed properly, appropriately for the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go with a sense of feeling. Where am I going? I am going into the presence of Allah, into the house of Allah. Go in a way which is appropriate. Don't go like something the dog dragged in, crumpled clothes and just got out of bed and hair all over the place. La hawla quwwata illa billah. Go into the masjid looking nice. For the men, use some perfume and so on, so you smell nice. Very important to brush your teeth. Very important not to eat onion and garlic before you go to the masjid. Very important now because they are coming in for Ramadan. And most people after iftar, sometimes they have dinner or something, or even in iftar, depending on what they eat, they come into the masjid, and if you are unfortunate enough to be standing next to that, to one of them, you wonder whether you are standing next to a cooking pot or something. Every spice in the world is smellable from your neighbor. It is offensive to people. It is offensive to the malaika. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam specifically prohibited eating onion and garlic and going to the masjid. And all our cuisine is full of onion and garlic. So please, by all means, eat it, but then brush your teeth. Brush your teeth, gargle and so on. Ensure that you are not smelling of that stuff. For the women, many of them cook and then they come to the masjid, and remember, when you cook, all that smell goes into your clothes. So if you are going to cook, then change your clothes before you go to the masjid. So the men put some perfume, ensure that when you go to the masjid, you do that. Also the behavior in the masjid, loud belching, belching with your mouth open, everything we have to say, unfortunately, today. I mean, this is the things which are, you feel ashamed to say them, sitting here, but what to do, I mean, if you don't say it. When you cough or sneeze, cover your mouth. Right, you don't want to spray the whole masjid when you are sneezing or coughing. These are basic usul of a masajid. Again, feet. Ensure that you wash your feet. Don't go into the masjid with stinking feet. Don't walk around all over the place and go into the masjid with feet which are dirty, because you're walking on the musalla, people have to make sajda there, and then you walk with your dirty feet in the place where somebody is going to put his forehead. So be very, very clean and pure when we go into the masjid. All of these things affect the khushu in salah, not only of yourself, but of others. Final thing in terms of clothes is t-shirts with slogans printed on them in the front and the back. People have, they don't even know what they are wearing. I saw somebody the other day coming out of a masjid with a huge picture of a beer tankard, with froth on it, and saying beer is good for health or something. He went to pray with this t-shirt. I mean, la hawla quwwata illa billah. They have no sense whatsoever, zero sense whatsoever. Can you imagine? The fellow is wearing this beer tankard t-shirt and is gone to the masjid. I mean, I don't know what to do, really, I think we must sort of get brain transplants. I don't know if they do that. Get the brains of goats or something. And they're superior to our current brains. Seriously, we have to think about it. Do not wear t-shirts with pictures, with slogans and all of that. There should be dignity in our dressing when we go to the masjid. Dignity in our dressing. So don't wear t-shirts with pictures and slogans. The other big issue with slogans is that you have a slogan printed on your back. Now you are praying, somebody else is praying behind you, and his attention is drawn to that slogan, and it destroys his salat. I mean, please do not do that. Wear clothes which are dignified. I'm not saying necessarily you have to wear a thobe or you have to wear a sherwani or something. No, but wear dignified clothes, whatever it is. Ensure that those clothes are sharia compliant, that they cover your whole body, and they're not transparent, they're not tight, and that they do not have all sorts of stuff printed on them, including Islamic slogans. Please, don't have a slogan, this is the house of God, and concentrate in salah or something. No, nothing written on your t-shirt. No Islamic slogans, no non-Islamic slogans, no nothing. Just plain, make sure that the clothes are plain and that they are clean and appropriate to the masjid. Final point with regard to the gestures when we do salah is to ensure that we do all the movements of salah properly. The famous hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he asked the Sahaba, he said, do you know who is the worst of the thieves? They said, Allah and His Messenger know best. He said, the worst of thieves is the one who steals in salah. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, how can somebody steal while he's praying? He said, he steals while he's praying because he does not do the movements properly. So people do not, the movements being standing up from ruku, sitting up from the sajda and so on. Also those people who do rafayadain, who raise their hands, please do not swat flies, raise your hands properly to the place where you are supposed to raise your hand, which is up to the shoulders. Don't just gesture somewhere, you know, peculiarly, as if, and they call it rafayadain, the hands, rafayadain means to raise the hands. It doesn't mean to wave them vaguely around your waist, right? So, let us be very clear, if you are doing rafayadain, do it properly. If you are not doing it, you are not doing it. But, don't make a joke out of one of the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So, complete movements in salah, do not steal in salah, ensure that the salah is complete in that respect. Inshallah, tomorrow and so on, we will talk about the inner aspects of salah. But I thought it's important for us to ensure that we understand the outer aspects and we do not invalidate our salah or do not make it less virtuous by not paying attention to things which are important for us to pay attention to. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to perfect our salawat and to accept them from us and to enable us to have this salah as our protection in the qabr and as our protection on the day of judgment. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.